chapter 1, if you will, please. Titus chapter 1. Hold fast to the faithful word and don't be fooled. Thessalonians, Timothy, and then the book of Titus. All those T's are together there helping you to find it sooner. Paul left the island of Crete and he left Titus there to choose elders, mature, godly men to lead the congregation. And even mentioning that today is not politically correct, but it is biblically correct. All God's people say, amen. Amen. See, there is that hesitation in our culture to move away from the biblical truth. And before you know it, you have women pastoring churches and then homosexuals trying to pastor churches, and it's a big mess. If you're going to straighten things out in any denomination, you got to go back to the Bible. And any church, if you just adhere to the Bible, it solves a lot of problems in life. Amen? It won't tell you what car to drive, or even to drive a car. But it will tell you to whatever you have, use it as a worship to Jesus Christ and as a gift from Him. That includes everything. Our own bodies are the place of worship, actually. Our bodies become a temple for the Lord, the Holy Spirit Himself indwelling us, revealing the life of Christ through us as we yield to the Holy Spirit, and then God the Father is glorified. So that's what's supposed to happen every time we open up the Word of God. We come with a submitted heart, that's an individual choice, asking the Holy Spirit to take the Word and transform us, giving us the mind of Jesus Christ. So let's begin in prayer today with that, okay? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we ask for Your strength today by Your Spirit to show us Christ and His desires. We don't want to be focused on ourselves, dear Lord. So many problems in life are because we're focused on ourselves. If we would turn our eyes upon Jesus, the things that we go through in life, we'll realize He will go with them through us. Through those things, He'll take us through them. And we can walk and talk with Jesus Christ in our spirit. He's not dead. He rose again after the third day, after being crucified. He showed Himself for 40 days. And many people resurrected, even 500 at one time. As a picture type of Christ's own resurrection. He ascended back up into heaven after 40 days, and right now, Jesus Christ in a human body sits there beside the Father, and He eternally lives in that human body to make prayers for the saints. So, Lord Jesus, we thank You for Your prayers. Can never be anyone greater than Jesus praying for us. We thank You for the Word today and transform us by it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, these biblical standards that we went through aren't really that difficult when you think about it. Don't get drunk. Don't beat up people with your fist or beat them down with your words. Be gentle with people. Be patient with people. Has God been patient with us? Yes. We're growing in grace. This is a lifelong process after we come to know the Lord Jesus as our Savior. Growing in grace is not growing in rulemaking. It's not growing in letter of the law. That'll kill a church. Sometimes we get our politics and our passage mixed up in the Bible. For instance, everyone not driving an American-made car can hardly call themselves a Christian. Now, is that true? Yes or no? Come on, I can't hear anybody today. I'm stuffed up here and there. Is that a true statement?
No.
That's not a true statement. You might like American-made cars. That's great. All those good things, but that's not a biblical statement. So what are elders supposed to do, by the way? These older men in the church, pastors, teachers, the bishop, the overseer, all these are titles for the same leadership persons. They're supposed to demonstrate the graces to the people, to all believers, actually, even the graces of God to unbelievers, and so that the people themselves would want to be like Jesus Christ. If we shift off of the highest glory in the church is a likeness to Jesus Christ on the self-help mentalities, the church will go down, and it'll go down fast. It'll go down in its walk with God. Oh, there might be more people coming, actually. But we'll have stepped off the truth of the gospel. Several limitations with regard to pastors of churches. Can't be a new believer. I mean, you got to know something about the Bible, amen. You have to have some time studying the Bible. I haven't yet arrived, but I took 5 years of studying every book of the Bible so that I would at least know something of what I was talking about. And I find that I'm still learning every time I go through the same old passages. Because these words are the words of life. This is the God to breathe the word. So let us look today on why God wants there to be established older, mature men. Not necessarily older, they can be younger, but they have to have some degree of maturity about them. Because the gospel is important. In verse 3, according to the commandment of God our Savior, verse 4, he writes this to Titus, mine own son, after the common faith, because there's only one real faith. Are you aware of that? And it's faith in Jesus Christ. Grace, mercy, and peace are the things that we get from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who is who? Our Savior. So we don't try to obey a bunch of rules to be accepted by God, and one day he'll say, well, I finally give up. You've tried hard enough, and then now I'll save you. No salvation through faith in Jesus Christ, all God's people say. Amen. Amen. But when you do grow in the likeness of Jesus Christ, you should be giving up some things. Here are some things that you should be giving up along the way. 1 Peter 2, 1 through 3. Wherefore, laying aside all malice, that's ill will, just a general state of ill will. A lot of people in our society have ill will. You're supposed to lay that aside. You don't need that anymore. All guile, that's not speaking straightly. You need to speak straightly. Hypocrisies, putting on a face, get rid of that too. Envying, I don't want it, I just don't really want you to have it. Get rid of that. And evil speaking, insulting people behind their back, sometimes in their face. And in contrast, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. If so, be that ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Well, I know the Lord has been gracious to me. And every time I open the word and feed upon the life of Christ, I come away revived. Sometimes it takes a little longer than other times. But by and by, the Lord will speak to my heart. And I'm so thankful for that. He speaks to our hearts right through the word. Now, he gives us a warning that a pastor is supposed to do. Look at the last part of verse 9. And we'll read the last part of verse 9. Excuse me, verse 9. We'll read to verse 14. And I know that's about twice as many verses as I usually cover, so I got to move fast. Titus 1, 9. So these new appointed pastor, elder, bishops, overseers in the church, they're to do this. Verse 9. Holding fast the faithful word that as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine two things, both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. So there's the exhortation there for the believer and convincement of those who are saying things contrary to the gospel. They're called gainsayers. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially of the circumcision. So that's what a pastor's up against, just in case you want to know. And then he doesn't give them any time in the church whatsoever. Whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses. They divide houses. And here's how they do it. They teach things which they ought not, and here's the purpose. For filthy lucre's sake, it's money or fame. One of themselves, Paul's writing to Titus, even one of their people in their own culture there on the island of Crete, says this. They're always liars. They're always lying. It's a way of life. They're evil beasts, we'll describe that. Slow belly, so three characteristics of ungodly religious people. Religious people, ungodly religious people. That's hard to get around in our mind, isn't it? Ungodly religious people. And then he says this in verse 13, this witness is true, wherefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound, there's that word again, healthy, hygiene, we get in English, in the faith. There's only one faith. And then a negative, not giving heed to Jewish fables, stop doing that, and commandments of men, stop doing that, that turn from the truth. These commandments that they're given actually turn us away from the truth of the gospel. So the first exhortation there is to hold fast to the truth of the gospel. Grip it and let it grip your heart. These are to the leaders. And by way of extension, everyone in the church. You ought to get a hold of that Bible and let that Bible get a hold of you. One guy agrees with me, Pastor Tom. The rest I'm not sure. You ought to get a hold of that Bible and let that Bible get a hold of you. You know why? Because the devil's always talking too. The devil's always talking. Acts 20:24. I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and to the Greeks. Here's what he taught. Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. That's salvation. Repentance toward God means I have sinned against you, God. Go through the Ten Commandments. Tom Sweeley will help you with that. You failed all of them. I have too. And we need someone who has completed the job, Jesus Christ. He says, behold, I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me. I don't know what's going to happen when I get there. But I do know this, the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saving that the bonds and afflictions abide me. I'm going to be put in bonds and I'm going to be afflicted. I'm going to jail for preaching the gospel. That part, I know. How many of us would go? But then he says this, what an inspiration, in a proper sense, of course. But none of these things move me, he means off my course. They don't move me, they just promote me along. The wind of the spirits, even through afflictions, drawing me more into the likeness of Christ. They haven't moved me off my course, they've advanced me in it. Troublemakers, viewed the right way, will actually advance you toward the likeness of Christ. That's the sovereignty of God. Sometimes the troublemaker is the one we're looking at in the mirror. That's what's holding us back, ourselves. He says, I don't count my life dear unto myself so that I might finish my course with joy. Notice, and the ministry. He has joy here, which I have received the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. By the way, that's every believer's ministry, to testify of the grace of God that you got saved. Now you better hold the line. Galatians 1:8. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed or damned. When's the last time you told somebody that? You know, if you guys don't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're going to be damned in your sins. That's actually a statement of love. People trying to earn their salvation, working hard, trying to be goody-goodies. And you know what? We just fail. Sometimes we do things we wish we didn't. And sometimes the things that we wish we know we should do, we don't do. And that's even true of believers, Romans chapter 7. So you throw your hands up to God and say, oh, wretched man that I am, who's going to deliver me from this body of death? The answer is, but I thank God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the answer. And then Romans 8, the love of God. Nothing can separate me from it. I didn't earn it. I don't deserve it. And I'm not losing it because he's the one that gave it to me. I don't need self-help. I need the Savior's help. There is no higher esteem than the Word of God than this. In the beginning, God created male and female. God sent his Son. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That means God's personally involved in my life. He cares about me personally. Look at verse 9. You better hold the line. Holding fast means to not let go of something And the faithful word or the trustworthy word means you can trust it. This Bible, the Word of God, will change you. If you obey it, if you yield to it, it'll transform you into the likeness of Christ. I promise you it'll happen. It's worked for me. It's going to work for me. I got a long ways to go, but it's still, God's still working on me. And I don't mind telling you. Sometimes it's a fight. It's a fight every day in the flesh. And we have to yield to the Spirit so we don't walk in the flesh. That's Galatians study. If you yield to the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of your flesh. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Hold fast to the Word of God. It is the sanctifying power because it is the truth. John 7, 17. Place your desire on it. 1 Peter 2, 2. And you will grow in the likeness of Christ. These words came out of the mouth of God. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. God breathed them out. And every book has something about the counsel, the personality, the person of Jesus Christ. All the scriptures, Luke 24, tell us that the scriptures testify, all of them testify, or they bear witness of Jesus Christ. So we're to exhort one another. Look at verse 9. He says, when you're preaching the truth, you may be about sound, that's a word for hygiene in English, sound doctrine, because there is some teachings that aren't healthy. Sound doctrine, both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. The exhort means to strongly urge the believers to yield themselves to the Holy Spirit and believe the Word of God. I don't have a lot of strength today, but I'm just going to strongly tell you. If you allow the Word of God to get a hold of your heart, it will change it to the glory of God. I don't have to scream it, do I? I got a headache. I can't scream right now. I can, but it'd be painful. I just tell you in love. When we get away from the Word of God or don't spend time with God, we will conform to the world. So many things come into our mind, and a lot of them not good. So we need to be renewing our mind with God's Word. So if we want a sound or healthy spiritual life, we've got to be in the Word of God. I love it when my wife writes a nice note to me. And by the way, it's been a while, honey. Write one, my professor. The sermon's over. No, but I just love it when my wife writes a nice word. I need to write some nice words to her, too, come to think of it. But it's a blessing if someone loves you and they write nice things about you or respects you in some way. Folks, these are the words of God to us. God's word to us. It's a love letter. So if we esteem the words of our spouse or other people, we ought to be esteeming the Word of God supremely. Doctrine is what's being taught. Somebody said, oh, we've got a church and we don't like to discuss doctrine. Well, that is a doctrine. You just discussed a doctrine. And someone said, we go to a non-denominational church. I said, well, that's your denomination. Your denomination is non-denominational. I mean, you can't get away from these things. Everybody's teaching. Everybody's talking. Everybody's speaking. And we need to listen to God. Have I said enough about that? All right, let's go on. Doctrine. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Doctrine. Don't forsake the assembling of yourself together. As so much more as you sense or see the day of Christ approaching, come together more for the help and benefit of others. Allow yourself to be built up by having faith in God's grace. This word convince right here means to refute. It means to those who are contradicting the gospel, call for them to turn from their sins and place their faith in Him. Call for them to do it. So, I'm going to call right now. If you haven't believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're trying to earn your way, whatever your religious background or bringing up is, you need faith in Jesus Christ and nothing else. I call upon you in the name of Jesus Christ to believe on Christ for your salvation. You don't need anything else. Because there's gainsayers out there. Look at it. Verse 9. The gainsayers means they are gaining a following by their false doctrine. You know, people just have a tendency to follow other people. Why do you think Nike tennis shoes are so popular? Or New Balance or Under Armour, is that what they call it? Yeah. Because of For instance, sports figures who buy those shoes or promote those shoes. That's one of the reasons. So the pastor here needs two voices. One for gathering the sheep to the truth, and the other for driving away the wolves and thieves. There are a lot of wolves and a lot of thieves out there. So we've got to hold fast to the faithful word and don't be fooled. That's our title today. Anybody ever heard of this guy before? We'll find out. Ponzi scheme. Are you familiar with that term? Anybody? Many of today's the computer savvy people are take their education for being a crook from this guy. An Italian immigrant named Charles Ponzi, 5'2" rogue, who in 1920 raked in an estimated $15 million in 8 months by persuading tens of thousands of Bostonians that he had unlocked the secret to easy wealth. That's still being told today. Charles Ponzi became a household word and the most famous con man in American history. Today, a crooked investment offering unrealistic returns is tagged with his last name. And this statement came out. Robbing Peter to pay. See, so these things affect our culture, don't they? You wonder where they come from. Well, what he did is he took money from new investors, and as he'd pay off the earlier investors with their money and just keep the money. There never was really a business. It's all made up. And then claimed that the business failed, he went away rich. Another con man, so in the early 1900s, sold a computer for $30,000, you know, meeting down at the local hotel. This guy's always a little leery about these people. But anyways, meeting down at the local hotel for a $30,000 computer. This is in 1900s. That's a lot of money, right? Huh? And he said it would produce a $100 bill every 6 hours. Oh, he got filthy rich selling that computer that did that. By the way, I think the people bought that sin right to begin with, right? That's called greed. But anyways, the machine indeed produced two $100 bills. At the sixth hour, here came out a $100 bill. At the 12th hour, another $100 bill. At the 18th hour, gray paper. What do you think he'd done? He loaded two real $100 bills in the machine, put the timer on, bing, bing, bye-bye, and took the money. Talking with police officers, I say, well, the problem is, Pastor, many people have greed in their heart and they're easy to take advantage of. That hurts, doesn't it, folks? Yes or no? So we need to be praying about what we do. George Parker sold the Statue of Liberty. He didn't own it, by the way. Sold the Statue of Liberty, Metropolitan Museum of Art. My wife would have a problem with that one. Grant's tomb. He got official documents. Said, I'm his grandson. And he sold Grant's tomb a number of times. And he sold the Brooklyn Bridge twice a week for 30 years. And so the police, about every other week, had to go up there and tell somebody, get off the bridge. They said, oh, no, no, we own it. And we're going to put these tolls. They said, get up. No, you and 1,000 other people, get off the bridge. And so if you believe that, I got a bridge to sell you. That's where that statement came from. Are these ringing home anywhere? Yes or no? Now, what's particularly disgusting is when these con artists enter into religion. Look at verses 10 and 11. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision. Those were Jewish people, the circumcision, who came over trying to add all sorts of things, interpretations to the law, and saying if you obeyed the law, then you could be saved. You'd be a true Israel then. And that's a lie. That'll never happen. The law is to convince you that you're not a saint, not to get you to be one. Jesus declares every believer a saint. Wow, that's hard to live up to, isn't it? That's what he says, though. Got a new name written down in glory. What is it? Saint to every believer. A holy one unto God. So, verse 11. Whose mouth must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. Many religious con artists today. Con artist is a person who intentionally misleads others in order to steal their money. One religious leader said, listen to this, I have a right to get rich because I preach that people will get rich, and I should be a good example of that. That's called circular reasoning. It's false. He doesn't have a right to get rich, and the people following him are not going to get rich either. Another religious leader said, God told me, I love these guys. Tongue in cheek when I say I hate them actually. God told me that each of you should start on your road to prosperity today by giving me $1,000 each. And if you had 200 people, I think, in attendance that day, so that means this charlatan was going to get $200,000 he was asking for. Fortunately, the deacon said, we don't think so, and they ran him out of the church. But God has something to say about that. Listen to this, Micah 2, verse 1. Woe to them that devise iniquity and work evil upon their beds, when the morning is light and they practice it because it is in the power of their hand. In other words, folks, they stay awake at night in their bed figuring out ways to rob people. And how do you know if a criminal is lying? Because his lips are moving. That's right. All myself's old, but laugh anyways. One of the things about faithful pastors, they will both lead the sheep to green pastures of dependence on Christ and the Spirit-controlled life. And at the same time, they have to pull out the weeds of satanic deception, which are all over the place. And by the way, some people will actually get mad at a pastor, a faithful pastor, if he starts naming false prophets. But Paul had to do it. 2 Corinthians 11, 13 through 15. For such are false prophets, deceitful workers. Notice this. Transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. But don't marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. God's going to reward them according to their works, their sinful works. And the reward is eternal damnation because they're still carrying their sins. We better bring our sins to the cross or we can't be saved. We have to bring our sins after we've trusted Christ as our Savior. We have to bring our sins back to Christ again for fellowship. That's 1 John 1, 7 through 9. We don't start the relationship over, but we want to be right in fellowship. They're untrustworthy personalities. In verse 10, they're called here unruly. That means they're rebellious. That means they set themselves up at the highest authority, not God. But what will a true shepherd do? A true shepherd will say, Jesus is the chief shepherd, and I'm an under shepherd. That's when you got a real one. But if you just skip Jesus, you got one of these guys. I wish this guy didn't have the same last name as me, but he does. His name is Bishop Eddie Long out of Atlanta. A number of years ago, he came out wrapped in an oversized Torah. He was lifted up by the deacons. I don't know why they were doing that. Lifted up like on a throne by the deacons, while an evangelist, so-called, proclaimed, worship God's anointed and do his prophets no harm. Worship your king! Goodness gracious, are you kidding me? Why didn't the people fall out with a heart attack and die right there? But there was so much mood music, ba-bum, 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 you know, pomp, 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 pomp. They're all screaming and yelling, woo, woo. Later, he was found to have homosexual relationships, died of AIDS. His health, wealth, and prosperity doctrine forgotten includes God's judgment on sin and the need for salvation in Christ alone. He was leading the church. Thousands of people followed. You say, well, that's sickening. It is. That's why you got to stay with the truth. So we can avoid these things. Sadly enough, true believers can be fooled at times when applying God's will to their own life. Peter and Paul, remember Peter separated from the Gentiles because these Judaizers came in, who were Jewish, adding the law to be saved. And Peter was scared, I guess. He removed himself from the Gentiles because he wanted an audience with these. And Paul rebuked him and said, that's a sin. You're trying to make a Gentile underneath the covenant of the Old Testament covenant as a Jew, and God said he's completed that. So Paul himself deferred to the counsel of the local church leaders in Galatians 2, chapter 2. He said, you know, you guys work it out. This is your local ministry here. So that's their rebellious spirit. And then they have also empty promises. Look at verse 10. They're vain talkers. These are empty talkers. They cater to people's base desire to be exalted amongst men. And that's vanity. Are we going to live through the praise of men or the praise of God? That's a choice you have to make. Jude says they speak great swelling words of vanity, but have little to no biblical truth. You can go away feeling good after their message, but you haven't been changed. You haven't been warned. You haven't been encouraged. You haven't been built up. And that's what happens when you preach the truth. You can always spot those false prophets who don't teach the truth by the way they so beautifully say nothing. They might take one verse and close a Bible, but they're not preaching the Bible. Empty means their words have no lasting spiritual value to offer the hearers. And they won't answer straight questions about heaven, hell, or the gospel. They answer like this, I don't know. I shouldn't judge. God knows. I don't want to offend anyone. Those are the pastors? Get out of that church. Believe me, folks, there's a heaven and there's a hell, and you're going to one of the other two places, and Jesus Christ is the one who decides it. And I'm glad that he saved me from my sins at 27 years of age. And I'm glad he called me to preach, because there's just something stirred up in me that I hate these charlatans. The gospel for sinners is reduced to ethical enhancement. Now we're going to be stepping on some toes. So the gospel of Christ, Jesus paying our sin debt, is now pushed to the side. He's not the focus. And now it's ethical self-enhancement. Things like how to have a healthy self-image, how to promote yourself, how to attract money to yourself. God wants you to be happy and rich. How to pull out of yourself those seeds of greatness for successful living now. Notice the absence of biblical truth. This is your time for greatness. It is? Oh, I didn't know that. Your breakthrough is around the corner. This false gospel is all focused on me, 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 and not Christ. See, you've heard a lot of that, haven't you? Yes or no? You better stay with the truth, because the truth is what transforms us. Hey, I don't like speaking of the negatives either, but I have to obey the Lord. Only Jesus can truly satisfy our souls, folks. And the cross is an offense to our flesh. And I'm so glad it is. I'm so glad that the cross of Jesus Christ is there for sinners like me. And I know I couldn't earn my own salvation. Therefore, my glory is in the cross. My glory is all in the cross. Paul said that, believe me. He was the most religious person that we know of. The Apostle Paul. He really wanted to earn the favor of God through his Phariseeism, but you know what? Didn't do it, did he? I count all my works as dung compared to the work of the Lord Jesus Christ for me. He said that, didn't he? Amen. Verse 10, they're also deceivers. They're vain talkers, empty talkers, they're rebellious, unruly. They promise things they can't perform, they can't deliver, and they deceive. That means these are especially powerful deceivers who come out of Jewish heritage. Now, that's not popular to say, but it's true. Some Jewish believers had not yet fully understood the completion of the law met in Jesus Christ, and they were getting all wrapped up and confused in this. And so Paul wrote to the Galatian believers, Why are you so foolish? You began by grace through faith in Christ, and now you're going to try to perfect yourself by going back underneath the law? That's not going to happen. We go from grace to grace, from glory to glory. Even so, by the Spirit of our God, 2 Corinthians 3:18. He does the changing. And I want God to change me. I want to be like Christ. The highest goal of a true believer is to be like Jesus Christ. Because God put it there. These unbelieving Jewish leaders demanded that the Gentiles adhere to the Sabbath, abstain from eating non-kosher meat, keep the Mosaic law, and bow to rabbinical teachings or interpretations. You know, 15 ways to wash your hands. Who'd want to live underneath that? Basically, these false teachers wanted to turn Christianity into another Jewish sect, S-E-C-T. Paul spent most of his life battling these Judaizers, as they were called. They dogged his steps, subverted his converts, attacked his apostleship, which means they said he really didn't talk to Jesus, challenged his authority that Christ gave him, undermined his teaching, and distorted the gospel. Here's three things that they did. One, they were teaching that the gospel wasn't sufficient for faith, and it is. Two, they were teaching that grace wasn't the standard for life. It is. They were teaching that Jesus isn't enough and you've got to keep your national rules if you ever hope to get into heaven. And that's a lie. Jesus is enough. And how does he respond to these people? By going up on stage with them, having a conference with them. Look at verse 11. What's he say about it? He says, whose mouths must be stopped. And the word there is to put a muzzle on a dog. Anybody here ever put a muzzle on a dog? Anybody ever wanted to put a muzzle on a dog? Anybody ever? Oh, yeah. 5:30 morning. I thought it was going to be quiet this time of day. I'm going to get up at 3 now, you know? Okay. We understand. Ephesians 2:8-9. By the way, how do you muzzle the mouth of a liar? Speak the truth. That's how you do it. Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, that's salvation. Not of works, not your works, lest any man should boast. It means to brag about it. Paul says, I got one place of bragging, the cross of Jesus Christ. So glad I placed my faith in him. Verse 11, these mouths must be stopped to subvert whole houses. That means they divide families. This happened a number of years ago. The false prophet Benny Hinn, for instance, a self-proclaimed prophet, held a large crusade in Kenya, Africa. He told the city leaders that Jesus had told him that he's going to appear on the stage with him. Benny Hinn said, Jesus is going to appear on the stage this week in our crusade. That ought to get a crowd, amen? Yes or no? Along with all the false healings, you know. Those people in the wheelchairs, move them along. Yeah, get them out of there. Keep them moving. You know, real diseases don't get cured at his events. Just to let you know. One night during a meeting, Benny Hinn started waving his arms and getting all excited and jumping up. Woo! Did you see him? Did you see him? And everybody's over there, what? Where? Who? What? Nobody saw Jesus. You know why nobody saw Jesus? Because he wasn't there. But this is what he said. Listen to this. If you didn't see him, it was because you didn't believe he was going to appear. That's a charlatan. Now, does that make you mad, anybody? It ought to make you mad in the spirit. And guess what? A preacher friend of mine told me. He said, Kenya, Africa, and those were charismatic churches. They're split all over the place. You know why they split? I saw Jesus. No, you didn't. Yes, I did. You just didn't have the faith. And it's just tore families right on down the middle. That's what false prophets do. Chapter 1, verse 11. Here's the real motive. Whose mouths must be stopped? Who subvert whole houses? Teaching things which they ought not, like that Jesus is going to show up. For what purpose? filthy lucre's sake. And that is sordid gain. The real motive behind their ministry is just to get rich themselves. That is sad. I think of our loved ones who've passed away recently. Donna Worth suddenly, a smile, no more pain, no more sorrow in heaven, enjoying the Lord's presence. He's not going to show up on this stage, I can tell you that, or this altar. He's not going to show up here. But he is here in the Spirit. Barb Munsell, smiling. I went over there and visited. I guess I got something at the hospital. But you know what, folks? It's all worth it. To see one who says, Pastor, I don't have anything left. And then hold on for another week or so because of love for other ones. And then die. And you want to bring people, these liars, and tell them, well, you didn't see Jesus because you didn't have faith to see him. That's a lie. That's manipulation. It's not the truth. So now you got to follow Benny Hinn around to find out new revelation all the time. Isn't that great? I died and went to heaven. Let me tell you about it. I might sell a lot of books, but I'm lying. Why is that? Because I didn't realize angels were blue. That's new revelation. That's false revelation. The Bible nowhere says angels are blue. So folks, it's just that subtle how you can just get off believing the Bible and start following others. Filthy lucre, greed is the base of their ministry, not the glory of the cross of Jesus Christ. In fact, they don't want to talk about that bloody business. Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sin through his shed blood will wash away our sins. Rarely, if ever, you hear him say that. Speaking of the blood is not going to bring in a lot of money in these false gospels. The basic lie is this, and I wonder if we've bit into it in the past. All you need is more money or fame, and you will be satisfied. Not true. False teachers are not concerned about what they can invest in the people through the gospel of Christ, but what they can get out of the people to feed their base greed. False teachers aren't driven to build up believers. They're driven to fill their own pockets. They're skillful con artists running organized religious scams. I told you I wasn't going to like this message, didn't you? Imagine Paul telling Timothy and Titus, now go and preach this to these people. And look what culture he's got to preach it in. Look at verse 12. One of themselves, that's the Cretans on the island there, even a prophet of their own said, the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, and slow bellies. Epitomes is his name, this prophet. What happened was there, he's a native born man there on the island of Crete about 500 years before Christ came. And he predicted at one time that the city would be attacked in the war, and it happened, so they began to call him a prophet. Hey, he knows what's going to happen in the future, so really he was just seeing how things were formed, and he made a prediction, but they called him a prophet. And he wrote these things. This is the way the culture is. And Paul used it, writing to Timothy and Titus, excuse me, and saying that's exactly right. This is how the men operate in that culture. We'll look at those three qualities, but or lack of qualities, I should say. But I want to say this. I went to eat with lunch with Mark Zook, New Tribes. He's passed away now, I believe. He told me one time at lunch, this is 10 years ago, whatever, he had a witness to a particular tribe in Africa. And when he spoke of Judas, they all cheered. Because he used both Jesus and the false religious leaders for his own financial gain, 30 pieces of silver. And they said, he's the man. Can you imagine that? Their characters are always lying. This isn't a one-time lie. This is lying as a way of life. These religious leaders lie as a way of life. Are we in Crete today? I don't know. Listen to this. A survey a number of years ago, USA Today, I don't subscribe to that, investigated 7,000 resumes. 48% exaggerated their former compensation, that was their wages. 52% turned a partial college or graduate working into earned degrees. 60% exaggerated the number of people under their former supervision. 64% exaggerated their former accomplishments. 71% lied about the number of years they've been at their former job. All for what? To improve their next job. Another survey found people calling in sick at work when they weren't sick. By the way, I'm sick and came in. I called. What's my problem? Hey, I wanted to be here too. But anyways, taking office supplies from a company for personal use, shifting blame to coworker for something they did, receiving too much change from a cashier, not saying a word, downloading music without paying for it, cheating on their income tax, switching price tags at a store to get a lower price, regularly lying to your friends and family over multiple things that make no sense whatsoever. Because you're just used to lying. So have we left the island of, or the culture of Crete yet? But when it comes to the church, folks, we're supposed to speak the truth and speak the truth in love. So for me to fight against these negative things is a way of me saying, as your pastor, I love you. The people who lie to get a job, unless the grace of God has worked repentance in their heart, will be the same people who lie when they leave the job. By nature, we're all liars. That's a sobering statement, is it not? And that's why we need Jesus Christ to transform our hearts. Speak the truth. Sometimes this hurts to tell the truth, but it's the most loving thing to do. We're like the little guy who got his Bible memory verses mixed up when he quoted, "Lying is an abomination unto the Lord and a very present help in the time of trouble." That's terrible. They're also described, these false prophets, teachers, are described, verse 12, as evil beasts. They're like untamed animals refusing to submit authority. They don't want to have any authority over them. My mind is made up and don't bother me with the facts. They put their hands over their ears. That's the opposite of meekness, by the way. Meekness is a willingness to be governed by the elders in the church. That's meekness. They're slow bellies. That means they're lazy gluttons. This is the character of one who likes eating luxurious foods or for someone else to fix them the food, but they won't help pay for the food. In common terms, that's called being a bum. 2 Thessalonians 3:10 through 12, this applies to the church. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any man would not work, neither should he eat. Very practical. The Holy Spirit's very practical. For we hear that there are some which, here's what happens, which walk among you disorderly, not working at all, but are busybodies. The fact that they're not working to help build something gives them time to tear down other people's works. That's a busybody. Now, them which are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ. You mean you had to throw Jesus' name in there? Yes, we did. To change with quietness, stop talking about other people's work and eat your own bread. Work and earn your own bread. I like that. Very practical. These false prophets, verse 13, he says to them, this witness is true. That's exactly the way they are. They're always lying. They're evil beasts, unruly, and they're lazy gluttons. This witness is true, therefore rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith. Sound in the faith. Rebuke sharply. Here's what Jesus said. Rebuke's a love word if used in the right way. Rebuke is a love word if it's used in the right way. Revelation 3:19. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. I love my kids. Go out there and play in the street. Don't worry about those cars zooming by at 60 mile an hour and a 35 mile. I'm going out there. I love you. I hate to put any restraints on you, you know. I hate to cramp your style and your self-expression in our culture. No, actually, we have put fences up because we love people. We don't want our kids getting ran over in the street. No is a love word. We're to speak the truth in love. Listen, everyone, listen very carefully. Time's gone. Without Christ, maybe 5 minutes. Without Christ, you will be damned eternally for your sins. Jesus came not to condemn you, but to deliver you because you're already condemned by God for your sins. That's John chapter 3. Read it today. Jesus didn't come to condemn us. He came to deliver us because we're already condemned. That's salvation. So that means you can be healthy until you're 90, be a millionaire several times over, never cheat on your spouse, pay your proper taxes, be well-liked in the community, be generally a nice person, give a lot of money to good causes, and still die and go to hell. Because Christ is salvation. So the pastors have to preach the word when it's convenient, when it's not convenient. Preach the gospel when it's convenient, not convenient, that Christ was crucified for our sins to pay the full price to set us free. The goal of rebuking false teachers is their own salvation. What? Yes, that's what verse 13. That they may be sound or healthy in the faith. The goal of rebuking a false prophet is so that they would transfer their dependence to Jesus Christ. The true riches of God is Jesus Christ. Stop believing fables and myths. Verse 14. Not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Next time somebody dies and says they went here and went there, whatever, please don't believe it. Save your money. Put it in the offering plate. And the guys will be glad to count it up for the true gospel being spread in the city. Don't waste your money. Bible code baloney. Millions of web pages. Mysteries hidden for 3,000 years are now revealed. Oh, that's exciting. The hidden message written in the chapter and verses, man, by the way, that's man's edition, to help you find the passage sooner. You take the first letter of that verse, the first letter of the second verse, the first letter of the third verse, and before you know it, there's a hidden message there. Folks, that's baloney. We got better sense than that, don't we? No. That's why this passage is in here. Sometimes we don't have better sense than that. Wouldn't it be exciting if the book of Thomas was true? 120 more words secretly held, and now we have them. Baloney. And here's some of the past false prophecies. The Antichrist has been revealed. I mean, no, that's not going to happen. Huh? The believers are, and we found out who he is. And I have a respect for this man, so I'm just telling you what happened. And unfortunately, probably some person in the Democratic Party did this one. Ronald Wilson Reagan, 666. That's the Antichrist. And sometimes we just jump on the bandwagon and ride it on. The Da Vinci Code garbage. That I added the garbage part. It revealed, listen, the secret. Jesus actually married Mary Magdalene, had children with her, and they lived in the south of France. How many of you think that's true? That's a lie. Here's another one. We found the bones of Jesus. No, you didn't. Not unless you tried to dig him up after 3 days. Within 3 days. After 3 days, he wasn't there. Here's another one that, you know, poo-pooed away. After the 2008 election, the Bible code predicted Obama will be assassinated in 2009. and Hillary will be the new leader of the new world. And all God's people say, we're glad that didn't happen. Book of Thomas contains 120 secret held words of Jesus. That's a lie. And then we've got to also not only do that, we have to do this, refute Sabbath regulations or the attempt to be self-righteous. Here's one of them. I got 3 minutes left. If your soup spoon weighs more than a fig, that's considered bearing a burden and breaking the Sabbath. Wouldn't you love to go to worship there? I did that, by the way. While I was in Israel, I went into a synagogue and they were known for particular piety, supposedly. So I'll go check it out. So I walked in. I shared this with some of you before, but I walked in the door and I said, sir, I'm a Gentile. He says, yes, I know that. And I said, how can you tell? And he said, because you're bearing a burden on the Sabbath. And I said, nothing on my shoulders. Probably got a little weight I can lose. Oh, yeah, it is a burden sometimes. And he said, I said, how do you know? He said, because you're carrying a pen. That's a burden. That facilitates work. You're not supposed to work on the Sabbath. Boy, oh boy. So folks, on the one hand, we've got to fight this as minister. And on the other hand, we've got to fight that. You know why? Because we love the truth. Turn from legalism, mysticism, fables, loose moral living to the grace of God, the gospel. Be saved from your sins. Jude 3 and 4. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, the same way everyone gets saved, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith, which was once delivered unto the saints. There's not a new gospel. Joseph Smith's a liar. The Bible and their Book of Mormon isn't salvation. You find salvation in this book and this book alone. There were certain men crept in unawares who were before ordained of this condemnation. They're ungodly men. They turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. Just go out and sin any way you want. That's the other extreme. Denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh to the Father but by me. Folks, let's hold fast to the faithful word. Don't be fooled. You won't be getting any new revelation. Thank you, Father, for the truth today and for your grace to help me preach it. If there's anyone here, dear Lord, who's trusting in something else, religious system or themselves, a good record, I pray that today they would call upon the name of the Lord Jesus and be saved. I pray that would happen, Lord. In Christ's name I ask it. Amen. I'm going to ask Pastor Tom to come stand up front. If any of you would like to talk to him about your